We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our gorgeous sister in Christ, Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey.
Woohoo!
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm so glad you can
join
us.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. Yeah.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email. Yeah, email. hourpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items.
Amen.
I think I covered it all.
You got it.
Would you pray this? It's all God.
It's all God.
Yeah, he brings it. I mean, he just, it's like,
oh,
the only way I can, he keeps it. I've done it. And then he's helped me retain it.
Mm.
And then every morning, the only way I can explain it is it's like I have a little earbud in my ear.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
It's like.
And he's just speaking it to you.
Yeah. And it's just, I can hear it.
That's good.
I'm going.
Wow. That's
awesome. He never lets me down.
Wow.
Even when I ain't feeling it.
Yes.
When I'm plowing through with prayer.
That's right. That's right, Monica.
And I'm worshiping for my win.
Yes. Woo, I'm proud of you.
He's faithful.
He is faithful. I love it. Aw, good.
Okay. Would you pray to start us out,
yes,
sister?
Yes, I will. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to just be here this morning, Father. We thank you that, God, you have a right now word that you want to speak. And, Father, we want to hear from you today. Father, we came to hear your word. And, Father, I just pray that you just really hide me in Christ and let me not speak on my own authority. But, Father, come and do your works through me. Give me the right now word, Father. Father, teach us as we're coming in here and learning about really the Jezebel spirit and how she operates in this last day. Father, we just ask that you bring revelation, God, that you would begin to open our eyes of understanding, and God, that you would enlighten us and then teach us how to deal with this and come around her. All for your glory, God, because you have a great purpose in this hour. And Father, we know that as your purpose goes forth, that enemy is rising up to stop it. And so today, Father, we thank you for information, for revelation from your word to help us come around the traps of the enemy. And so, Father, today we just ask you to bring the people. Father, send the word out to the people, and God, use it for your glory and for their good and for your purposes in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. I ask for the anointing, Father, to flow through me. God, I have nothing in me, but I rely on you. So Holy Spirit, you release the word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I do like your title.
Yeah.
I've had to battle this one myself.
Okay.
I mean.
Yes.
From my.
Mm-hmm.
Due to the lifestyle I chose back in the day.
Okay.
It opened the door.
Yes.
Wide open.
Yeah.
I mean, wide open.
Yep.
I'm just going to say it like it is. Working in that lifestyle.
Yep.
In the clubs.
Yes.
He said it's okay to go ahead and say it. Say it like it is. Be real.
Okay.
So working in that lifestyle of being a stripper.
Okay.
Working in the strip clubs.
Okay.
I got paid to entice men.
Wow.
Whether they were married. Single.
Wow.
It did not, in that moment, at that time in my life, living, having chosen that lifestyle.
Yes.
My mind was making money.
Wow.
My mind was on making money.
Wow. That's powerful.
And I did not care. And I'm going to be really real.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I did not care if he had you sitting at home.
Yes, I know.
I didn't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
If y'all had babies sitting there.
Yes, I know.
I didn't care.
Yeah.
If I was taking money out of your mouth and your baby's mouth.
Wow.
All I cared about was making that money.
Yes.
Honey.
Wow.
Wow. But God.
Yes, but God.
But God is so faithful.
He is so faithful.
When I cried out to him.
Wow.
He put his hand out to help me. Instead of picking me apart.
Yep. Yep.
And causing me more pain.
Yes. Yes.
He picked me up.
Oh.
And helped pull me out of that.
Yes, Monica. He's so good. Oh, Monica, thank you. That's a powerful, powerful testimony. It's got to be spoken in this day and hour, you know, because I think you're right. A lot of times we're not being honest and open because it's like, what do they call it? Politically correct. Or and so, you know, you're always trying to say everything carefully. But the truth is that God has set you free from some stuff that others are still battling and they're still going through and they need to hear your testimony. It's powerful.
And she still comes knocking.
Yeah.
Hey. I'll be like, skirt.
Yeah.
Sister, I done put the brakes on that curse.
Yes.
You ain't got no part in me.
No.
And I want absolutely no part.
No part.
Of what you have to offer.
That's
me.
Right. That's right. Praise
because
God.
Because it ain't going to do nothing but steal, kill, and destroy.
Woo. That's it. That's
because
it.
Because I know where your home is.
Wow. You got your mind. You got the mind
of
Christ.
I got my mind made up. And
that's
I want to stay mission-minded.
Yes. Yes. Stay focused, girl. I'm so proud of you. I'm proud of you. You're a living, walking, talking, breathing testimony of God.
It's all God.
That's what it is, Monica. I'm proud of you. Okay. Well, we're going to jump in and we're going to look at the characteristics of the Jezebel spirit. And so before we jump into those, we've been studying these at the Refuge, and I believe the reason for that is that we are in a day and hour where the Bible says that in the last days, right, he was going to pour forth his spirit, and we'll read that in a second, but that prophecy would operate in the church, and that we know at the last days it talks about Elijah returning, and we know there are just different things that are revealed about prophecy coming forth in the last days. Well, we know that when there are Elijahs, there are going to be Jezebels, and we know when prophecy goes forth, Jezebel comes to kill the prophets, and so anytime prophecy is going forth, you can bet that Jezebel's not far behind, and so we really believe in this hour, we've got to be aware of how that spirit operates. And I believe we've had an idea of how she operates, but we're going to take it deeper today. And I think it's going to open our eyes to some things that maybe we've never seen before. And it'll just help us, number one, be more aware. But I would say this, number one, let's make sure that we examine ourselves first. Okay. The reality is that spirit tries to work through anybody. Okay. It's not just a woman. It will operate through a man. A spirit doesn't choose gender. A spirit just chooses a vessel. We know a spirit even chooses an animal. Okay. So it was sent into pigs. So it will choose a man. And so don't be deceived to think this is only a woman's spirit and flip this off. No, this can operate in a man. So we need to, number one, examine ourselves. This is not about listing these things and then running and saying, oh, I believe that person's got it and that person's got it. It's about saying, hey, is there anything in my life that is allowing that spirit to operate through me? Okay. Now, I'm not saying that Christians can be possessed. I'm not going to all that detail. I'm saying, but a spirit can influence you. Holy Spirit is an influencer in our life. In fact, when you study out the words and break them down about what it means to be inspired by the Holy Spirit, it means to be influenced. And so when we are influenced by Holy Spirit, he influences our behavior. He influences our talk. He influences our lives. And so if Holy Spirit does that, then evil spirits are influencing as well. So they can simply, I've heard it said that the most powerful thing that Satan has is the power of suggestion. And so those spirits begin to cause a person to, they speak to them, they lie to them, and they see how far they can get them to go. Okay. And the more room you give them, the more power they get in your life. And so I want to look at these today, first as examining ourselves, but secondly, so that the body of Christ can be protected. As a pastor, my heart is to see the sheep watched over, to be guarded. We know that Jesus said in the last days that ravenous wolves would even come into the body, and they would not spare the flock, but they would come in to seek and kill, to steal, to destroy, to devour. That's their whole intention. And so it's very important that we recognize when this spirit is operating and kind of know how to deal with it. And so we're going to talk just about that today. So I want to jump right in. Let's go to 1 Kings 18:13 is where I want to look first. You know the story. I don't want to do a lot of back talk about Jezebel and Elijah and Ahab and all that. If you want to read it, go into 1 Kings, and you will find this story. And so you can actually start in 1 Kings 18 and begin to read it. So I want to look at 18:13 here. It says, "Was it not told my lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water." Now, why do I want to look at that scripture? Because it tells us what Jezebel did. She comes to slew the prophets of the Lord. She comes to kill the prophets of the Lord. Why? Because Satan doesn't want the voice of God's people to go forth in this hour. So that spirit will come after anybody who walks in the spirit of prophecy. Anybody who walks in those prophetic gifts, you'll see it. If it's in the church and somebody is operating in that gift, that spirit will be attracted. Okay. It's like, oh man, it's just like, it's just an attraction, kind of like in the natural realm. Someone is attracted to another. Jezebel is attracted. Okay. She's drawn to that place where the prophets are to kill them. She's also attracted to the Ahab, which is going to be a leader in the house of God. It's going to be someone who has some authority in a house. Okay. And she wants to get near them so that she can begin to rule from them and eventually take over completely. Okay. And so often you'll see this when you're dealing with a Jezebel spirit. So we're going to just jump right in there. 1 Kings 18:13, we learned that she comes to kill the prophets. She wants to shut down the voice of God. Acts chapter 2 verses 17 and 18. And I'm going to go through these pretty quick because I don't know how far I'll even be able to get, but we'll just go as far as we can. Acts 2 17 and 18 tells us this, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Okay. "And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." So what do we already learn? Anytime there's prophecy going forth, Jezebel is drawn to that because she wants to stop it. Okay. So if in the last days, which we already know that the last days began right here, we were seeing that happen at the day of Pentecost. It began there, but we're still in the last days, okay? And so the spirit of prophecy is still going forth. So we must be aware of how to deal with this spirit in this hour. Revelation 12:17. And just real quick, let me say this, in Matthew 24:24, and we won't turn there, but in Matthew 24:24, Jesus is warning of what's going to come in the last days. And he said that false prophets will arise, okay? And they'll show signs and wonders and miracles. And so he was warning them to be aware. However, a lot of times people get confused and say, well, prophecy is done away, it's just preaching. But if you go into the, I think it's 1 Corinthians 12:28, when you get in there, it begins to talk about that there will be that the offices set in the body are apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Prophet is different from pastor, okay? Now, a pastor can prophesy, but the office of prophet is different from pastor. And these were set in the body of Christ, in the church, okay? And so when you have, because a lot of times people will dismiss it and say, oh, it's just preaching. It's not true. It can be, but it's far more than that. And so I don't want to go into all that today because we'll miss what we're trying to do here. But my point is I want to let you know that if there was no such thing as prophecy in this day and hour, then Jesus would have not said, hey, beware of false false prophets that arise. He would have just said, hey, anybody comes along to you and starts telling you, giving you prophecy, say, don't believe them because there is no such thing. That's all been shut down. It's going to be shut down. Don't worry about that. He did not say that. In fact, he teaches us how to deal with the prophetic properly because it is going to be used in this last day. And so let's look at Revelation 12:17. I love this, boy. It's powerful. It says, let me find it here. And the dragon was angry. She was enraged. The dragon was enraged with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay. The enemy's coming in the last days against God's people who keep the commandments of God, right? And they have the testimony of Jesus. Now I want you, we say, okay, what's the testimony of Jesus? Well, turn to Revelation 19:10. Revelation 19:10 says this, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, see thou that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Now catch it. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Boy, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Listen, we are going to have prophecy go forward until Christ returns. That's when that gifting closes. That's when that closes down. The spirit of prophecy is still going forth. If you have the testimony of Jesus, you got the spirit of prophecy. Amen. And so now that we have established just a little bit of that, I want to jump into how this spirit is going to operate. Because anytime, like we said, prophecy is going forth, we're going to see Jezebel spirits pop up. Okay. So we're going to expose a little bit of that today so that you can be aware of it. Prophecy is what we said is an inspired speaker. It can also be to foretell, and it can be forthtelling. Okay. So it will also come at times with telling things that are coming in the future. Okay. And so I'm not going to go through all that because my heart is always to like really break it down, to go through every little detail. And it's so hard for me to just pass on by it. But I've done that before, and I, you know, seek out some scriptures on it and begin to ask Holy Spirit to show you that. And he'll teach you. So I want to just jump right into what we can expect when this is going forth, what you'll see, because the spirit is coming to destroy. Okay, let's look at 1 Kings 18:4 for the first characteristic. And this was really, the Lord really put this in my spirit. This message has really come from, there's a book called, it inspired this. There's a book called Unmasking Jezebel, and it is by John Paul Jackson. And I thought it was one of the best descriptions of Jezebel I've ever seen. And so if you want to go further in that, go ahead and get that. But that's where this is inspired from. I was reading that, and God just began to speak to me and show me some things. And so we've been talking about this at the house of the Lord. 18:4, I want to read just real quick right there. Let me give you the first key here, the first characteristic. While it is almost unrecognizable at first, such individuals who are operating, being influenced by a Jezebel spirit, are threatened by a prophetic leader. Okay? They go after that prophetic leader. It tends to be their main target of concern. Okay. Why? Because she came to kill the prophets. And so although such people will seem to have a prophetic gift, their aim is to actually control those who move in the prophetic realm. So a lot of times when Jezebel shows up, she may even appear to have a prophetic gift, but there will be a tendency to go after maybe the prophet in the house, those who operate heavily in the prophetic, and to shut them down and even to take their place. Okay. And so a lot of times you'll see this in 1 Kings 18:4, the scripture really that shows us a little bit of this is where it says, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And so what we see here is that she wants to cut off the prophets. It's the same thing we've seen earlier. She slews the prophets. Okay, Revelation 2:20. It speaks a little bit about Jezebel here. Gives us a little more insight. Revelation 2:20, it's talking to the church at Thyatira. And you can read all that, but we're going to focus in on verse 20. And it says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because you suffer or allow that woman, Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. If you caught that there, she's going to want to get into a leadership position. Okay. She's trying to take a leadership position. And Thyatira, the church at Thyatira, had allowed that. Now, remember, when I'm talking about her, I'm not talking about a woman specifically. I'm talking about a spirit. We know that Revelation is dealing with not actual Jezebel, because she was alive during the time of Elijah. But this is different, okay? We're talking about a spirit that is operating through a person. And this person is now being used and influenced by Jezebel to teach things that are not true. And so what I want you to see is that a lot of times when that spirit comes in, it always goes for the leadership, okay? It'll always draw close to the leadership. It's trying to always get in good with the leadership. Now, that doesn't mean everybody who draws near to leadership has got a Jezebel spirit, but it's just something that we keep our eye on, okay? Because they want to get into that place where they can actually take the place of the prophet of the house. That's their goal, okay? That spirit wants that, so it can begin to then teach wrong things, all right? And it wants to destroy the body of Christ. And so let's look at number two. When you're dealing with the Jezebel spirit, they'll want to increase favor for themselves, okay? The person will tend to want favor for themselves. And what they'll do is they'll zero in, kind of like we just said a second ago, they'll zero in on the pastor or the church staff, and then they look for the weakest link in kind of the church, and then they work to subdue them. But we're talking about in the leadership. They'll find the weakest link in the leadership, and they'll try to subdue them, okay? So their eventual goal is to really, like we just said, is to run the church, okay? They often, okay, this is what you'll see. Now, I want to make clear, I think I've said it, but I want to make very clear, it's not the person, it's the spirit influencing the person. That person is not the enemy. We have to love them and understand that they are being influenced by a wrong spirit, and God wants them to be delivered. He wants to set them free, and he wants them to fulfill their God-given destinies and purposes, okay? But without, so don't go at the person, you're dealing with the spirit, okay? And so that spirit will want, they often view themselves as the one who should be running the church. It's like, oh, you know, it's just like, oh, they're sweet and they're doing great, but they always secretly view themselves as the one who should be running that. That if they were running it, they could run it better, okay? So that spirit thinks it is the one who should be running everything. So you'll see that in the person who's battling the spirit. Okay, so look at Galatians 2. Galatians 2, verse 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. I always say GEPC.
God eats pizza constantly.
That's what you said, okay. I always go GEPC. Okay, Galatians. It's funny how everybody has their own way of doing it. but I like yours better.
Pastor Dwight taught me that.
That's good. I love that. Okay. Galatians 2, 4 through 6 says this. And because false brethren unaware brought in, who came in privately or secretly to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, they came in that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, not even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me, Paul said. God accepts no man's person, for they who seem to be something or somewhat in conference added nothing to me. He's saying basically people, you know, we try to say someone is special and they got something and we got to get close to them, and we try to build people up. But the truth is that Paul said, I don't get. You know, sometimes we think if someone's got a name in the community, we want to draw close to them, right? But Paul said, I don't get wrapped up in that. I don't get wrapped up in any of that stuff. And so as believers, we can't get wrapped up in that, okay? He said, it don't make me no difference what people say you are. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are in the community. He said, but contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter, that he wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And they ended up giving him their hands of fellowship and saying, we're going to go with you and we're going to do what you're going to do. We're supporting you in what you're doing. However, what I want you to see in this verse is that we cannot think, because we can't view people differently in the body of Christ as special because they're pastor, or maybe they have a prophetic gift, or because people think highly of them. We need to view people as brothers and sisters in Christ and mothers and fathers in the faith. Stop putting people on a pedestal. We should honor one another, but we should not idolize one another. And that spirit wants to be put on a pedestal. Okay, that Jezebel spirit will cause that person to seek after finding the in circle. It's like, boy, if I can get in with this person because there's somebody in the church circle. And so if I can get in with them, boy, I can really be somebody. And if I can gain their favor, you see, that's how the mindset of the person influenced will operate. Okay. However, that spirit is trying to get in there so it can get a platform. Listen to me, Jezebel's spirit has to have a platform in order to do anything. So it's just as easy as paying attention. If the body just simply will come together, pay attention, and be on guard from allowing that spirit to have a platform, she really can't do nothing. Because Jezebel has no power without an Ahab. All right, she's got to have an Ahab. And if she doesn't have an Ahab, she's got no power. So we don't get fearful that she's going to come in and destroy things. But as leaders in the body of Christ, we have to be aware that we're not being a place where that spirit can come in. And let me say this about the spirit. That spirit will be very, it tends to be very charismatic. It tends to be very, what I mean is personable. They're very, They seem like somebody who could get the job done. There'll be somebody who, gosh, they seem so spiritual. And listen, I'm going to be straight with you. We've dealt with them at our church. And I have learned through error, okay? I've learned through error, okay? Because they'll often come in and it's like, oh, thank God. I know as pastors, what we tend to do is it's like, we're desperate for help. And when somebody comes in gung-ho, it's often that we're like, oh, praise God, we've got somebody. And then we put them in only to find out, whoa, wait a minute, we should have tested them first, okay? Because not everybody who comes in is ready to walk in that place. Now, some are coming in and they're ready, but you're going to test them to make sure and then put them in. But others are coming in and they're not necessarily dealing with a Jezebel spirit as much as they need to mature and grow in some things. So you're going to train them up and put them in. But others are coming in and they look like they're ready. They sound like they're ready, but it's the Jezebel spirit operating, trying to get a platform. So we got to just be aware of that. Okay. So let's go on. The third one is that this spirit will seek to gain popular and pastoral endorsement. Okay. They always want to go around and make sure that they've got endorsement from somebody so that when they go elsewhere, they can say, well, you know, Pastor Tammy said this and Pastor Tammy did this. Boy, I learned this the hard way. That spirit is coming to get your endorsement, leaders. It's coming to get you to back it up so that it has credibility when it goes somewhere. So we have to be aware. That's why we're being cautious before. Sometimes people get discouraged because they think, well, I've been here and you're not. You know, I'm desiring to move forward, but a lot of times they you can feel discouraged. You think, why are they not, you know, helping me? I desire to be in this position or whatever. But don't be discouraged by that. Go to your pastor and just be upfront. Hey, I have a real desire to be a teacher, but I don't know how to do it. Could you train me up? I'm willing to sit under your leadership and be raised up so that I can step in that. I'm telling you what I wouldn't give for people to come and say that. Okay. But a lot of times people don't come and say this. They just set off to the side. And I think a lot of times it's because they're uncomfortable. They're feeling intimidated. If they don't know how to do it. But let me tell you about that Jezebel spirit. She'll come up quickly. Okay. She don't mind because she thinks she should be there. In fact, she thinks that she's the one who should be in that place in the first place. So she don't have no problem coming right in and saying, hey, I would love to do this. And so you just have to be on guard is all I'm saying. So they seek to gain that pastoral endorsement. So they will form strategic affiliations with people who are perceived by others to be spiritual or influential. because that spirit then can get some, you know, if they have this pastor's endorsement, then they can go to this pastor's church and then they can talk and say, well, you know, I'm under so-and-so, and they get credibility with this pastor because they got this pastor's approval, they say. And so they bounce around using your name and saying they got endorsement from you, when, you know, you got to be careful who you're endorsing, because that's what that spirit does. It needs credibility. That spirit cannot walk into a church and just speak as it wants to speak, usually, because it'll be shut down if it has no credibility. Okay, so number four, this characteristic is that the Jezebel spirit will appear spiritual. These individuals will seek recognition by manipulating situations to gain an advantage. Okay, such individuals often conjure up dreams and visions from their imagination, or they borrow them from others. Okay, so what I'm meaning is, I want to say this, they tend to seem very spiritual. They almost like super spiritual. You're always like, wow, they're really, you know, they really know God. They're really close to God. And this is why the Bible says we will know them by their fruits. You got to take time to get to see the fruits of a person. Don't automatically think because someone's, you know, they seem super spiritual that they're not of God, or that they're operating under Jezebel. No, just take time to look at their fruit and really just see where they're at. Okay. 1 John 4:1. Let's look at that passage. Oh, man, it's already time to pray, isn't it? We'll read this one, and then we'll take a break.